This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Not once did I hear, "Dave, I have zero reads today. Why don't you throw some on my plate?" Not once.
Thursdays, I have a lot going on.
Well, you do. Between the open and the open, I mean, you don't really have time for much else.
I want to hear from you. I'm not sure about my co-host.
Stevie, you're on the frenzy. I mean, you're on 98.7 ESPN. All right, and that's at the end of Steve.
The open, then I got to react to D-Hiff and Knobs.
What's your segment?
No, until RJ can do it.
No, it's your segment.
Yeah, I birthed it. It's moving.
You think you could birth a baby?
No.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Because I want to be all drugged up. I want IVs in both arms, and I want the good stuff.
On 98.7. ESPN.
That thing, miss, can I shake that thing?
All right, DiPietro Rothenberg with you, the big 7 o'clock hour. We're presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. And all guests, join us right here on the Goodyear Hotline. Matthias Kiwanuka on the Goodyear Hotline at 7:35 this morning. By the way, before we get into the Giants and what they should or shouldn't do this weekend with Daniel Jones, I think we missed a golden opportunity at another knob. I think there's another knob that
tell me.
Mark Davis.
Oh, with the no comment?
I mean, are you kidding me? Really? I have Brandon Staley coming out giving me one of the most eloquent, well-thought-out, amazing press conferences yesterday. I have your player has to take a personal day in NASA because he's just obviously so distraught over what's going on. You have coaches who are so respectful for what is happening. And I have the owner of the Raiders that is asked about it says, "I have no comment. Ask the NFL. They have all the answers." I get it that this was a search into what's going on or what has gone on with Washington, and now all of a sudden they stumble upon this with John Gruden. But you are the face of the franchise, and you have nothing to say about your coach who you loved going with all these emails for years? What an embarrassment for Mark Davis yesterday.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I mean, what I take from that is, and especially the end of it, is the NFL has all the answers, is he obviously didn't want to fire John Gruden.
No, absolutely not. They kind of forced him into pushing him to resign, I'm sure.
Well, no, I mean, you're sure. Of course they did. I mean, they leaked the first one and then, I mean, expected him to do something about it. He didn't. He let him coach. And then all of a sudden, they leaked the rest of the emails.
But how about this was really hard for me because I love John Gruden, but I think it was the right thing to do. And I'm horrified by the fact that someone that I trusted and believed so much would speak like this and write like this for year after year after year.
Well, that's the right thing to do. That would be the right thing to do. And people want to hear from you. I mean, now that John Gruden's gone, I mean, this is
your team.
You own it. Yeah, I have no explanation for it. I mean, that's what you would expect.
There's nothing you can say.
But it was
Mike
Mayock
had to speak on it. There's no defense of Mark Davis right here. There's none.
No, there isn't. No, there isn't. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I thought that was a little misstep by RJ. Could have had a...
No, but Staley, I mean...
That was something, huh?
No, between that and then when he gives you the breakdown of why you run the football and everything else, like you can understand why people feel really good about the Chargers right now.
Well, and look at them. Right? They're 4-1. They should be 5-0 if they weren't, you know, ripped away from having that win against the Cowboys. That they're a really good team.
No, they're a really good team. They're well coached, good defense. Justin Herbert's a stud.
Yep. Eckler, excellent running back, couple of really good receivers. Yeah. They have
added a tight end.
There.
It's funny how that works when you had a legitimate tight end.
And you know
the thing with the Jets too.
And that's not a tight end that anybody couldn't have had. Like Jared Cook is fine, but there's no reason the Jets couldn't have brought in a Jared Cook-esque guy.
No, you say that though, but he's exactly what a young quarterback needs. Look at the receivers they have. Mike Williams is humongous. Keenan Allen is a big wide receiver. Jared Cook is humongous, especially with guys that struggle with accuracy. That's what you want. Big, huge targets with giant catch radiuses is what you want. You try to fit the ball into like all these tiny wide receivers.
Well, don't worry.
These tight windows.
Josh Allen in the making. You should have very little reason for concern.
Well, show me what. Tell me when Joe Douglas adds Stephon Diggs, and then we can start talking about the Josh Allen comparison. I mean, look what that team has done around him.
Yeah, they've helped.
They got a great coach. They got a great coach. I mean,
a great offensive coordinator.
Exactly right. Who's had experience as opposed to a rookie offensive coordinator. Steph Diggs, they bring in Emmanuel Sanders.
Yep.
I mean, Dawson Knox all of a sudden now has stepped up.
You know how many college touchdowns Dawson Knox had?
Off the top of my head. First of all, where did he go to college?
Mississippi.
Oh, there we go. Yes. How many touchdowns in college?
Zero.
Interesting.
Not one.
But again, you see talent. You recognize the talent.
Right. That's my point. Another guy's in the end zone every single week. This is someone we can help. Mike in East Rockaway. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How are you? First time caller. I got a quick question for you I need you guys help with. I'm a diehard Mets fan. I'm a diehard Jet fan. When it comes to hockey, I've never really had a team. I went to Cortland. They had big Ranger bars there. It was 2014, 15, the Rangers making the postseason and stuff, and it was fun. But I never really bought fully into it. The Islanders at the Barclays, it was kind of a hassle getting there. And I kind of need a hockey team. I got to choose one. So I'm going to let it up to you guys. Whatever you guys say.
Well, you know we're going to go in different directions. I mean, you know that he's going to say you should root for the Islanders. I'm going to
say it depends on what he wants. No, it's not going to be like that. It depends on what he's looking for. I mean, you heard the teams he roots for. He roots for dysfunctional teams that don't consistently win.
But you don't look at the Rangers as dysfunctional.
I think there was a level of dysfunction what happened this offseason, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a great offseason. I would agree. Listen, if you're looking for the quick fix, if you're looking for, you know, I want a big reward and payoff now, I think you go Islanders. If you are someone who's long-term, who wants to be with a passionate, large, fanatical fan base, I think you go Rangers.
No. Time out. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to get the payoff now because this is one of the better teams in the NHL. But, you know, I mean, this is not something that's going to fizzle.
It's not built to last.
Stop yourself. Of course, really.
I mean, Little Lamoureux is like 78 years old.
It doesn't matter how he'll live. Listen, I'm not worried about Lou Lamoureux. I got Lou. I got Trotsky. I mean, stop yourself,
yeah,
please.
For the moment, the flavor of the month kind of?
No, they're not the flavor of the month.
That everyone's darling to win the Stanley Cup? Okay, then go win it.
No, they're the flavor that lasts.
Right, no, stop it.
Long-lasting flavor.
3 years from now, they'll be irrelevant.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
You just said I couldn't agree with you more.
No, I couldn't disagree with you more.
You had the Freudian slip there, didn't you?
No, there was no Freudian slip.
Yep. Let's go to Matt in the truck.
Just extended. Pulak, stop. Don't be jealous of my team.
You know, Matt, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was calling in to try to see with you guys NFL Pick'em Wager with the K Show. How about you guys do the loser has to go on that muscle spasm thing Rick was talking about?
There is no way they would do that.
No, they wouldn't do it. That's the thing, though. They wouldn't do it.
They don't want to have a wager.
They don't want to have a wager.
I think Peter might take one for the team, you know.
Don
wants his punishment where he gets pegged by tennis balls, so you never know.
I think Don would do it.
Yeah, I would stay away from the word peg, too. Yeah, they don't. I mean, they're not interested in a wager. We tried.
And their wagers are obscene. It's like, eat a hamburger. Oh, all right.
Yeah, like Peter ate crickets. I mean, they don't even taste bad.
No. I mean, you go to, like, India. It's an appetizer.
No, they made me. I had to slam a whole cup of those on SportsCenter, a whole thing of crickets.
Why?
Well, because the whole thing, like they started serving crickets. I think it was in Seattle, started serving crickets. So they thought it would be like a funny idea to have us eat crickets.
So you all ate crickets?
No.
Just you?
Dum-Dum ate the crickets, yeah. And they're like, oh, that's all you're going to eat?
So they had like, all right, we got crickets for Tortorella, Melrose, Butchagross, DiPietro, and they all just watched as you ate them?
Yeah, this wasn't with those guys. Yeah, it was a while back. And they're like, that's all you're going to eat? I was like, what do you mean it's all going to eat? They're like, no, you got to eat all of them.
And were they awful or was it okay?
Disgusting. Yeah, it was
fine.
They were
gross?
No, they weren't bad.
Right.
Just once you get over it, it's a cricket.
What's the weirdest, grossest thing you've ever eaten?
Who was probably back in college?
Sweet mate.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, Santiago is like honestly this close to being persona non grata. You are anything. Slurping on it. Anything that I deal with in my life.
Slurping on those Rocky Mountain oysters. Oh, yeah, we had a whole tray of them in Newport.
Well, I didn't know.
You know, all that ocean water in the Rocky Mountains.
I didn't know. I mean, we had the seafood tower. I figured
I love the seafood tower.
There.
Love the seafood tower.
Oh, it was so good. It was
delicious.
It was so good. All right, let's get to the Giants a little bit. I've heard a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, like Mitchell Schwartz came out with this. He said he doesn't care if Daniel Jones is cleared by the doctors. You cannot play him this week. My take is the Giants have typically been very conservative with their players. If he's cleared, I'm playing him.
No, I agree with Schwartz.
Yeah.
I've been through it, man. I mean, I passed those tests, and then the next one you get, it is way easier to get the next one, and it's usually worse. It's usually worse. Now you got no Galladay, no Saquon.
Well, Shepard will be back.
Well, that's fine. I mean,
Thomas will be back.
Well, compromise Thomas, yeah, going up against a team that's had 10 days off with Aaron Donald on it.
But if he's cleared by doctors, why wouldn't you play him?
Because I'm telling you, I've been cleared by doctors. You don't mess around with head injuries. You don't mess around with concussions. The next one is easier to get.
Okay, so how long do I now hold them out for?
I would probably give him at least another week.
So you would not play him against the Rams and then trot him back out there on the field the following week?
Yeah, I would give him some time. I know the kid's a tough kid and he wants to play. And if he passed the test, great. But I wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable throwing him out there.
You agree that he's going to play if he can't play, right?
He's going to want to play, yeah.
So that's one of those situations where the Giants have to stand in the way and say, I'm sorry, you're not going to play in this game.
They would have to, yeah. This is one of those, you know, protect the player from himself. Because that's the kind of player he is. And, I mean, let's be honest. If you have any chance to win this game, I mean, Daniel Jones running the football would have to be incorporated into the game plan. I mean, you saw him do a Grady Jarrett, and it worked. 2-point conversion, ran right through him, and we all praised him for it. And then he tried it at the goal line, and unfortunately, he lowered his head. They go helmet to helmet, and I mean, he almost fell down on the field there.
Oh, it was terrible. I'm sure Santiago was probably applauding and laughing, but it was, I mean, for the common man, it was awful to watch.
You think so little of me.
Well, you're sitting here in my ear being like, it was Jeff Schwartz, not Mitchell. It was Mitchell Schwartz.
I was trying to help you.
Well, you're trying
to get my
way.
You know, I'm not trying to laugh at you. Trying to do my job.
It was Mitchell Schwartz who actually had the tweet.
Either way, may the Schwartz be with you.
Thank you, Mel Brooks. Dan Orlovsky, who was on the K Show yesterday, was asked the question about the rushing touchdown attempted. Is it worth doing that, or should he not be doing that?
But is it worth it? I mean, even on third and goal, is it worth it to take that hit, to lower your head and take that hit?
Michael, I'm going to be honest with you, yes. In that moment, third and goal on the road against the Cowboys, I don't think you could sit there and slide. On third and goal, I don't think you could sit there and avoid that hit. And we can all sit here and say, well, you can't duck your head, or he's trying to go make a play in the moment of competition. You wish it didn't happen. Again, the situational aspect of it, you got to go try to score in that moment. Absolutely.
And how hard is it, how difficult is it, Rick, in the heat of moment, seeing the goal line there, to think to yourself, third down, Dallas Cowboys on the road, I need to get in, but let me not put my head down and go for it. I mean, I don't know how realistically you can think that he wouldn't do that.
Well, of course not, right? I mean, he's already done it. I mentioned the Grady Jarrett thing, and it worked. Like, his mindset is, I'm getting into the end zone. And unfortunately, in that moment, no helmets collide, and he gets concussed. But the other thing that Dan said, because they asked him, I mean, we heard it a lot, and I said once he got hurt, that would be the conversation. All those people that called us every day, you know, Jason Garrett stinks, you know, why isn't he incorporating, you know, Daniel Jones into the running game and everything else? Those same people would call and say, oh, he can't do it anymore, it's too dangerous. So they asked Dan the question too, and Dan's like, no, in order for Daniel Jones to be a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL, to be the guy, he has to be able to run the football. That's
absolutely
part of his game.
He does. We actually have that. You want to hear it?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Well, let's hear it. Let's take a listen.
Absolutely. For him to be a starter in the league, an impactful starter in the league, they have to use his athleticism. He's not dynamic enough as a thrower or explosive enough as a thrower to justify to not using those legs. There are guys in the league that can be. Josh Allen would be one of those guys. Justin Herbert's one of those guys. He's not.
He's not. There's no doubt about it. He is a better quarterback when he is running the football.
He's a better quarterback when he's running the football. Your run game is better when he runs the football. Right? It's not like you have this, you know, this crazy dynamic offensive line either.
No, almost the opposite. I mean,
exactly.
You need, I mean, their best offense this year in the run game has been what?
He leads the team in rushing for a reason.
Right.
But even Josh Allen, I mean, you saw him in that game against Kansas City. He has the ability. He has the ability too.
Not only does he have the ability, I think they ask him to do a lot. The difference is how big? Josh Allen is enormous.
He's a humongous kid, yeah.
He's a linebacker in a quarterback's body.
But you heard what he said. I mean, what Dan Orlovsky said. In order for him to be an above-average quarterback, a starting quarterback in the NFL, that has to be an aspect of his game. And you're going to have to live with occasionally him
You say occasionally. Being hurt. He's now been hurt 3 times in 3 years.
Yeah, he had the hamstring last year, and then you get the head injury this year.
Right. So this is on the heels of a guy that never, ever got hurt.
Again, which people don't give Eli Manning enough credit for, by the way. It's amazing what Eli Manning was able to do every single week he shows up.
He never missed a start.
No, it's crazy.
Never, ever, ever missed a start.
Well, Russell Wilson was doing the same thing. I don't even think people realized it, that he never missed a start. And he's a tough dude. But just how a freak, his throwing hand, hits the hand of Aaron Donald, and he ruptures a tendon in his finger. Now
he's
missing time.
Figure at some point over the length of Eli's career with the amount of physical punishment he took that at one point that would happen to him.
Well, that's what I mean, though.
It's something that
following through on a throw, your hand hits a helmet or a hand or something, anything. I mean, you see it all the time.
The one game that I stand by with Eli Manning that just will impress me, and I know even like a guy like Santiago who doesn't think highly of Eli.
The Niners playoff
that
game?
That Niners NFC championship game might have been the most abuse I've ever seen a quarterback take.
And he took a beating.
He rose to the occasion. He came back, huge drive, great throw on third down to Manningham, and the Giants win that game in overtime. That wowed me how tough he was in that game.
So here's the thing, though. This is the reason why I say that even if he passes protocol, which it seems like he's going to, I think it caught Joe Judge off guard that he was this far along in the mm-hmm. process, is the goal this season is, especially now you're 1-4, is to evaluate whether or not Daniel Jones is going to be a quarterback moving forward, right?
Correct, yep.
So the last thing you would want is, okay, he passes through protocol, he's back, and now, God forbid, he takes a hit again, and because he came back a little bit too early.
Misses extended time.
And now you can't evaluate him.
Listen, you're not wrong with that. You need him to play, but I don't know. If he's cleared by the medical staff, I would tend to play. Like, let's
hold on one second. So here's what happened, right? I'll explain to you what happened with me. This is why I have the opinion I have. So my first big concussion, like the big one that was like happened in a game, in Montreal, I came out, tried to poke check. Guy was on a breakaway. I poke check. Knee hits me in the head, and I'm night-night. Oof. Like, don't remember going to the hospital, none of it. So I'm a young kid, so I kind of I bounced back a whole lot quicker than I thought, went through the protocols, passed and everything else. Came back behind the net. Someone just, I'm not even joking, Dave, like barely glanced my head behind the net. Like just kind of like shot my neck sideways a little bit. I was out for like 3 months with post-concussion. Like barely even got hit. But because, I mean, it's your head. You can't see inside of your brain. Like I can pass the test, but I mean, so Pat LaFontaine, he had to retire because of concussions.
Right.
He said how he would equate it is, like, it's like a gas tank, right? And, every time you get one of these concussions, you're taking, more and more out of the tank. And if you never give it enough time to fill itself back up, it just becomes worse and worse and worse. So, yeah, great. He passes through the concussion protocol and everything else. We saw what happened to him, though. Like, that wasn't just a, hey, I got my bell rung situation. He was like out on his feet.
Yeah, no, it was severe. It was.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Kiwi. Now, Kiwi, before we start with the whole Giants debate and should Daniel Jones play or not, we had a discussion earlier this morning. Is it Matthias or is it Matthias?
It's Matthias. Actually, I mean, I go by Matthias or Matthias, depending on how you want to pronounce it. But it's Matthias with a TH.
Okay. Well, then I'm proven right, and I feel good about that. We appreciate the
I accepted it. I told you at the time I accepted it.
Nah, you know what? I didn't feel like you did, and I wanted to get it clarified right away with Matthias Kiwanuka. All right, Matthias, so let me ask you this. We just had the conversation. If he's cleared by the medical staff, and you know better than anybody that the Giants medical staff very conservative, do you, in fact, play Daniel Jones this week, or do you sit him out and say, you know what, it was so severe and so alarming that even if he's cleared, I want to give him another week to kind of recoup?
Personally, I would say if he's cleared, you play him. Now, that being said, you also got to take into account that we're not 100% sure what the impact of a concussion is on your body. So if it's a long-term thing for him, if he feels like, even though he's medically cleared, if he feels like it's still fuzzy or hazy, then I would be okay with him saying, no, you know, I'm going to sit this one out, just because he has to think about, you know, his life and not just this season or his career. But if I'm a coach in a position to, you know, to put him out there on the field, yeah, if he's medically cleared and he says he feels good to go, then absolutely, we put him back out there on the field and we give this team a chance.
Yeah, but Mathias, I mean, you've been in these situations, right, with the concussion protocol and everything else. I mean, it's, hey, do you feel, I mean, does the light bother you? Nope. Does the sound bother you? Nope. Do you have a headache? Not really. Let's throw you on the bike. How do you feel? I mean, you can, I mean, let's be honest. You can get yourself through concussion protocol even if you don't feel like you're 100%. That's what makes me nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So I just get concerned that I know the kid.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there too. I was in Detroit. I took a shot, needed the helmet. I remember sitting on the sidelines and they're asking me, you know, where we are. I had no idea, you know, but I ended up going back in that game somehow. So that's what I was saying. I was like, you know, as a coach, I understand, you know, you got to put the players on the field once they're cleared to go. But as a player, that he's got to take it upon himself to say, hey, you know, I'm not okay. I got to think about my future. I got to think about my life, my health, and my safety after I get done playing. Because everybody who plays in the NFL for a significant amount of time has some you know, traumatic brain injuries to some degree, and it's going to affect you in some way, shape, or form. So I don't think it's a healthy thing for him to do, but I understand that, you know, the game is, hey, everybody's got to get out there and everybody's going to play. So I would leave it up to him. If he feels fuzzy at all, no, sit down. Give your brain a rest, because the issue is not just having the brain injury or having the initial concussion. It's having, you know, multiple concussions or traumatic brain injuries after your brain is already bruised. So if he can let his brain rest for a week or two and let it recover, then he'll be in much better shape.
Mathias Kiwanuka with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mathias, listen, I think that everyone looks at Saquon Barkley as a real talented player. I think it's also fair to say that through 3+ years, he has not maybe lived up to what a lot of people expected him to be. Is this a non-issue in your mind that the Giants will sign him to a long-term deal when his contract eventually does come up and that he's going to be a Giant for a long time?
Is it a non-issue, you're saying?
Yeah, like do you think there's a chance that the Giants could say, we don't want to pay a running back $16 million a year and we think it's better used in another spot and we're not going to pay him for a second contract?
I mean, that's tough because, he's dealt with a lot of injuries, but when you look at what he's brought to this team, I mean, he's one of the hard-fighting guys. You know, he's one of the guys who's out there literally laying it on the line every night. And, you know, depending on what you bring to the team and value in terms of in the locker room, that can sway things one way or the other. Now, you have to look at how much rebuilding this team has to do. You know, you got to look at how many different positions need to be filled and what kind of money that's going to take. So, you know, those decisions have to be looked at from a lot of different ways. I wouldn't say that they're just going to say, oh, it's because he didn't perform enough or he got injured and that's why we can't bring him back. I think it's going to have a lot to do with, you know, the other roles on the team that they have to fill.
Mathias, Dave and I are, and when we go back and forth with this, I mean, Dave is the biggest Giant fan I know and he's frustrated, obviously 1-4, but we assumed coming into the season, you know, you had Adoree Jackson, defense was really good last year, they'll be really good again this year, James Bradbury's going to build off what happened last season. You need to explain to me, because I'm having a hard time dealing with it, what's happened, not only to the defense, but most importantly, what's happened to James Bradbury so far this season?
I think, you know, I've never played on a team where it just looked year after year as though, you know, there was no shot. You know, every time we were out there on the field, I feel like we had a legitimate reason to be out there and to play. And when you're looking at it now, it looks as if there's some defeat as a group, not in each individual. So I'm not putting this all on Bradbury, but like as a group, they just seem deflated. They seem like easily taken out of the game. You know, a couple things don't go their way, and then you see guys not running to the ball as hard. You know, you see, you know, there's some, you know, like a sense of like apathy on the sidelines. Like it's just not as intense as it should be. I think that kind of mentality breeds, you know, bad play and bad ball, and it's being allowed to be out there on the field. You know, you gotta You got to get that mentality back. You got to get some pride about yourselves to be able to go out there. So I think it's a personal pride thing at this point.
Well, hopefully it turns around a little bit this week. Matthias, continued success. We know that you're on New York Game Day with Anita Marks and Mike Tenenbaum, 8 to 11 every Sunday morning right here on 98.7 ESPN. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. You're very welcome. That, Rick, is Matthias Kiwanuka.
Matthias with the maybe the biggest indictment of your New York Giants so far this season.
Yeah, not good. Personal pride? Yeah.
Apathy on the sidelines?
Yeah, not good. How is that possible that the first couple of games you have apathy on the sideline? Like, he wasn't good in game one.
No, he wasn't, and he hasn't been. Well, maybe it's just the realization that we're not as good as you know, you get that slap in the face that, I mean, we thought we would be better, but we're not.
But I don't understand
nearly as good
how
as we thought we'd be.
Maybe not. Clearly not, right? They thought they were going to be really good. They're not really good. But how is Patrick Graham so good in year one and not in year two? How is Bradbury so good in year one and not in year two? How do you have what should be a better secondary, yet it's playing worse? It doesn't add up for me.
No, it doesn't. That's the most surprising thing we've seen so far from this team is the defense. Especially James Bradbury.
Yeah. I thought he was an all-pro level corner last year.
Oh, wasn't he second team all-pro last year?
Yeah, I mean, he was at that level, and he's not good this year.
No, he hasn't been good. And I don't know if it's the scheme. I don't know if it's you're just not putting enough pressure on the quarterback, whatever it ends up being. It's just they couldn't stop the run last week. They got gashed. So maybe guys just look around. That happens sometimes. You know, I'm not usually this early on in the season, but maybe it's just more of the same.
How could you be apathetic in week one, though?
No, I'm not saying apathetic, but there are times, like, you'll look around the locker room. Like, you go through preseason, you got, like, you know, reporters asking you, what do you think? Oh, it's a great group of guys. We got, you know, we got plenty of talent. We could be a playoff team. And
right.
Then you go through training camp, a couple preseason games, and you're like, whoof, was I wrong?
This is
we
not
stink.
Who we thought we were going to be. By the way, I probably shouldn't bring this up on air. I probably should not. But RJ told me what happened with Kiwanuka there. Santiago hung up on him.
Stop yourself.
Yeah. He hung right
up on
him.
You're a dirty, dirty liar.
How am I? No.
That's not true. It's not true.
No, it is true.
It's not true.
He's taken the Cowboys Giants thing so personally now that he didn't even want Kiwi on the air with us.
You are telling vile and disgusting lies. I didn't realize this thing would affect you so badly.
He's deflecting is what he's doing.
I'm not deflecting.
You had a former Giant just say that the Giants have quit, essentially.
Well, yeah, because I need him to tell me that. Look at them. Look at what's happening. They're a lost cause.
There's a big difference. There's a big difference between being bad and quitting. That's also an indictment of your head coach.
Well, that's a bigger problem here. If they're in fact quitting, I mean, could you see the Giants winning three games this year?
Yeah.
So answer this to me. How do you bring back Joe Judge if you go 3-14?
I don't think you can, but the only reason that you would is because at some point you have to have some semblance of stability.
I get it. But if you expect to win 9 games and compete for the division and you win 3, I'm not saying win 6. I'm saying win 3. How could you bring him back next season?
Well, I think you have to ask yourself the question, what's most important to you? Because Dave Gettleman won't be back, right? So you got to prioritize yourself. Like, is there a GM out there that I want so bad that I would say, okay, we're willing to move off of Joe Judge to get the GM? Or do you really believe in Joe Judge and you'll have him help you find the next GM?
That's
what you got to ask yourself.
That's what they're going to have to answer. Knowing the Giants, they're going to keep Joe Judge, even if it spirals out of control.
See, I'm not so sure about that, man. If the locker room quits on him, I mean, you got a defense. You just paid Leonard Williams. You just brought in Adoree Jackson. You know, guys like that all of a sudden look like they quit on the coach. I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to think that you're going to deal with, like, how do you get that? You don't get that back. This isn't like college where all of a sudden, you know, guys, you're bringing in a bunch of new freshmen. Once a team quits on the coach, that's not.
Well, we'll see.
You don't just
we'll
get
see what
that
they
back
do against the Rams. I mean, it doesn't get easier. You got Rams. You got Chiefs. You got Panthers. You got Raiders. None of these are easy games. You got at Tampa on a Monday night.
No, and you're ravaged by injury right now.
Ravaged, and we'll see if he's able to suit up and play this weekend. Let's go to Mel in Rahway. Mel, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
I like to say, I want to agree with Rick. I think that we should sit Daniel Jones just because. The other guy, the backup quarterback we had, I wouldn't want to see him all year. You know, one game was good enough. Probably this game next week be good enough. But I hate for Daniel Jones to, you know, have to miss the rest of the season for this game right here. So I think we should settle.
I understand, and I don't think it's a crazy tact. I would just, thanks for the call, Mel. I would just say if he feels well and he passes protocol, again, I think he's going to play. I think they're going to put him out there.
You're 1-4. This isn't one of those situations where this is, I mean, you're playing a team that's not in your division. Feels like your season is already, I mean, essentially over. You got no Saquon, no Kenny Golladay. I mean, what are you trying to prove? Bringing him back.
That if he's healthy, he's going to be my quarterback.
Yeah, but he's not. You don't know. But that's my point, though, is you don't really know if he's healthy or not. Like, you can't see into his brain. Like, his
of course
brain,
not, but, concussion but how would I know that next week he's healthy or 3 weeks he's healthy?
Well, because the brain, like when you have a brain injury like that, it's your brain bounces off the side of your head and has a bruise on it.
Correct.
So the longer you can rest yourself, the better off you are. Now, I'm not saying rest him for a month. I'm saying even like I'm happy that he's getting through protocol. That's a step in the right direction. But again, under these circumstances, I don't know whether or not risking his long term for this season. I'm not saying for his whole career.
No,
I mean,
understand
season,
what you're saying. So if the Giants were 3-2, would you feel differently?
I would probably feel differently, but I'll also say this. Like a hit he takes on Sunday that looks like no big deal could cause a lot more damage on Sunday than it would have potentially cost if he sat out and played the following Sunday. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like that extra week could make a huge difference for him.
Absolutely. And I think the difference with the concussion is there's so much unknown, right? If you have a sprained whatever, like you know a lot more about that. The brain is just kind of an unknown entity, and that makes you nervous.
Well, it makes you nervous, absolutely. But the other thing, though, is it's me taking your word for it. Like, we say protocols, and I put you through the test, like, can you remember these things and everything else? But a lot of it initially
I was very good at that, by the way.
Well, no, you were terrific at it. But a lot of it initially is, hey, Dave, how do you feel? And now I'm trusting you to tell me the truth. You say, okay, I feel good. Does light bother you? How do you know if I'm telling you the truth? No, light's fine. How about sound? No big deal. How do you feel when you get on the bike? I've done it. I've lied my way through all of that just to get on the ice. And I think that Daniel Jones is that same kind of guy that feels like in order for him to lead the way he wants to lead, he has to prove to his teammates that he's a tough guy.
So your point is you got to save him from him.
Yeah, and I don't think that, listen, and I actually think, you know, him really wanting to be on the field is a humongous positive for him. That's what I really like about this kid. I think this kid is, and this is why I want him to be successful. I like all the intangibles that this kid has. I would just hate to see him be put in that spot where, you know, he pushes his way through this protocol and then, God forbid.
And you have to know what you're dealing with, too. Like, they know. I don't know. You don't know. But they know what kind of kid he is. Is he a kid that if he's not well is going to say, guys, I'm not feeling great, and tell them the truth? Or is he going to say whatever needs to be said to go out there and play on Sunday?
Most guys are like that, the latter.
Mm-hmm.
That will say, I can play. And then you'll have the guy, like we had a guy on our team that would self-assess himself every day. He'd come in and be like, well, Garrett, my left shoulder is at 62%. My right shoulder is at 87%. We're like, what the hell are you talking about? Can you play or can you not play?
Yeah.
So every guy's different. It's,
I like the self-assessing.
Right. It's knowing your personnel.
For all the ones who get it done, Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches, plus their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by. And Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. That's another day that I did every single read. Every single one.
I wasn't offered the opportunity. I asked RJ before the show, do I have any reads? He said no.
Why not split them up, RJ, moving forward here? Can you give the guy a little bit of work to do? He does the open on Thursday, and then he mails in the rest of the show.
Well, no, because I think what RJ's mindset is that it becomes a speed bump in the show. It's like you have to team me up for the reads because you drive the show. It's much easier if you kind of just to sprinkle in the reads when you feel
necessary.
You think
we could ever have a show where you drive the show?
Probably not, no.
Well, I think it'd be great.
I could. I've driven my own show, but I drove
yeah.
The locker room.
Well, let's have one.
No,
day.
I don't like it.
Of course you don't like it, but one day let's have you drive.
Yeah, no. I think we do what we do. Like I don't think, you know, Bill Walsh ever went to Jerry Rice and said, you know, it'd be fun if you played quarterback today, and Joe, you want to split out wide receiver? Like, it's a great thing going. Let's just do
and
it.
You know what? You know, on his deathbed, Bill Walsh was saying, I made a mistake. I should have at one point given Jerry the reins and let him run.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
No.
Very, very well known.
No, now Jerry's doing commercials with Brett Favre.
Pickleball commercials.
We got to play pickleball.
I'm ready to play. I played tennis yesterday, by the way.
When is that match happening between you and
Rosenberg? It's going to take some time now. I was not good. Oh, if I played Rosenberg now, I think he would probably kill me. I lost to a 60-year-old man yesterday.
Oh, God.
60. But in fairness, RJ's like, when was the last time you played? I haven't played tennis in like 20 years.
I don't think that's an excuse, though. The way you talk up your tennis game, I don't think that's an excuse.
But I'm being honest with you. I was nothing short of dreadful yesterday. It's going to take a little time. But we're going to play one or two times a week. And within, I would say, by end of November, early December, I should be very functional and able to beat Rosenberg, certainly. But, yesterday was not good. 60 years old.
Yeah, listen. I buy it. Let's go. Get to 3 stars. Come on. Don't take up Santiago's segment.
All right. Listen, I don't care about Santiago. Let's make him rush through. Stress out. But fine. Let's go. 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars.
Very calculated. I see what you did there. It's okay.
Number three.
Oh, number three is going to go to Pete Rose. You know, usually our old folks are very adverse to using the internet, but that man, he not only embraces the internet life, he lives in the comment section in real life.
Right. I think I'd be excellent in childbirth.
Never thought that childbirth in males would be a topic on this show, but...
Because I want to be all drugged up. I want IVs in both arms, and I want the good stuff.
I don't know how Sherry doesn't want to punch you in the face daily.
Santi, when you're built like Dave, it could be a possibility.
Be a possibility.
Number one.
Thanks for making me welcome back on the show, boys. Dave sticks to his conviction, hates me so much. Just like he sticks to, I ate Rocky Mountain oysters. Congratulations.
Yeah,
great job.
A whole tray.
You know what? Never said a whole tray. Santiago, quite honestly, I wish you would have stayed in Dallas for an extended period of time. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPHO Rothenberg and...
And Santillo without Santiago.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.